Hello?
Hello, hello.
Hi. So, did you really not want to be on my podcast because you wanted to work on your twine thing, or was it you were embarrassed to be on a podcast?
No, it was because I wanted to work on my twine thing.
Okay.
It's legitimately just the lack of time I feel like I have in a day.
I understand.
And although I usually enjoy, like, conversations and stuff like that, especially video, it's like, they take up a lot of time.
Yeah. Yeah, I just always have too much time and not enough conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, I know people who are like me who don't have a job, but they still somehow only seem to have, like, a tiny amount of the time that I do. Like, Alex is retired and Sandy's on disability, and they still just, it feels like they're never around to talk to.
Which is weird.
They have issues.
Yeah.
Sandy has chronic pain, OCD. Alex has been moving, and then he's been sick recently, and I don't know, he has some other things going on. Everybody just has a bunch of stuff filling up their lives. Things that they can make a part of their lives that they would rather have than not. I can't seem to find stuff like that. Everything that's like an ongoing scheduled activity or whatever, I feel like my heart's not in it. It just is a ritualized thing that I can't, it alienates me.
Yeah. So, none of that meetup groups? None of those meetup groups is what you're saying?
No. But, you know, it's not just meetup groups, it's all of everything that's like that.
Sure.
It doesn't seem like it should be so hard to find somebody to talk to. It's just, it really is.
Plenty of human beings. Doesn't seem like it would be so hard.
Yeah. And then I make recordings, and it sort of feels okay to do that, because it feels like, you know, when you're making a recording, maybe you're making a connection, you don't know. It depends on who listens to it and what they get out of it, and if they give you some feedback, or, you know, if something comes to that. So I make these recordings, and I sort of enjoy it while I'm doing it, but then it feels like nobody ever listens to them. Or may make comics and I feel like nobody reads them or whatever.
Yeah.
Or they don't get it if they do read it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, Sandy can't use the computer because if she types for 5 seconds, it causes horrible screaming, shooting pains up her arms. And Alex is just, like, illiterate when it comes to comics. He can't read a comic somehow. It's just sort of baffling to me, but that's how people are sometimes.
Who's Alex?
Friend that I made recently. We tried to. He's the father of a friend who I tried to make and gave up on making because he's too autistic to have conversations with. People said that I reminded them of him or we should be friends or whatever, but this guy, his name is Nick. He just, it's like he doesn't talk, you know? You can be around him in the same room and he's just always working on a laptop and he responds to direct questions and that's it. And you know,
that's unpleasant.
Yeah, it's just like, this doesn't work for me. And his mother is very agreeable and very conversational, but she's just sort of a collector of friends. She doesn't really share any of my interests or perspectives. She doesn't see what I see in things or you know, I mean, she remembers, like, personal details from people's lives so that she can appear to be invested in them, but the same to the extent of every person that she talks to. And maybe it's narcissistic of me, but, you know, I don't want people around me who, you know, are just like me for being a person, for just being yet another human being. I want them to actually care about what I have to say.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess I've always taken for granted that nobody would care what I have to say. It's kind of interesting.
And the thing is, if I believe that, nobody cares what I have to say, then that just sort of makes me completely lose all connection to humanity, and I probably go on a murder spree or something, because it's like, for me, that's the only thing that holds me into the fabric of civilization.
Well, that does sound a little bit narcissistic, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know if it's narcissistic exactly, it's just a different emphasis on things. It's like, other people, the human connection that they get just from hanging out and being pals, it just isn't there for me. It isn't.
Yeah.
I don't feel it.
Yeah.
For me, it's all about ideas. And so if it's like, you know, if people, if we're not connecting on the intellectual level, then we're not really connecting at all.
Okay. I can understand that, but it's... Yeah, I guess it's not really narcissism, is it?
I don't think it is.
I mean, it depends on whether you frame the intellectual connection deal as what am I trying to say here. It depends on whether you consider, I guess, the knowledge to be, like, product of all people versus just
you. Well, you know, like, when I first met Lemmer, when I was new to the internet, I really looked up to him, and, you know, I gathered a lot of my my initial sort of cultural grounding and stuff from him, because I just had no, you know, my parents, they didn't have TV in the house, and they didn't really have any shared interests or anything. It was just sort of a cultural void where I came from before I was on the internet and on IRC and the ZZT community, so... I kind of learned everything from Lemmer, and I really looked up to him, but then over time I began to sort of grow past him, and, you know, as he slipped into alcoholism, and I got more and more frustrated with him not wanting to step up to the plate creatively, you know, to work on projects or actually make anything. He seemed afraid to, like, genuinely put himself out there in any way, or more and more even to offer, like, legitimate... thought out criticisms of things, and it just felt like I sort of, like, the roles that we had reversed in a kind of an ugly way, like it just sort of sucked out his whole soul and left him with nothing. And I don't think that's really what happened. I think that's a very distorted view of it. But the point is, I don't think certainly it was narcissism there. I mean, I wish, what I'm saying is, I wish I could find somebody like that again, you know, who I could absorb more from, who I could, you know, just suddenly have this fresh window onto this, you know, all these things that I was never aware of that are neat and stuff, and teach me how to be better and cooler and, you know, about all the stuff that I didn't know. And I just feel like I can't find anybody like that anymore. Like, everybody is just as lost as I am, or way more so. And
sure. And
so I try to be the guide, but nobody really trusts me or has enough time or attention to listen to what I say. And so I can't even do that. So it makes me very sad. I just wish I could tell. Like, I don't know if it's my life story that I want to tell, or just like a sort of a digest or an omnibus, like a, you know, a guide for people to just put together all of the things I figured out about the world and useful ideas or whatever to relate to people. I just feel like I have a lot to say, but I can't figure out how to say it, or who to say it to, or whatever. It's all just too scattered in too many different directions, too many formats, too many people, too many different styles and mediums and things. It's all just a mess. I can't organize it. I feel like it's all just sort of going to waste, just sort of slithering down the drain, because I can't get enough perspective on it to figure out what's important and how to put it together in a way that people will be able to understand it or will care or whatever. And I can't find anybody to help me do it. And I don't know if it's because I have just a noxious personality to people, that there's something in me that's annoying or scary or confusing or whatever, or if it's just because I never wound up in the right circles to find the people who could have helped me or whatever, but I don't know. Something just seems to have gone very wrong in my life, and I don't know who to tell or what to do about it. I feel like I have this great potential to do lots of different things that has always wandered, because I couldn't decide what to do, or didn't know how, or just never was in the right place at the right time, you know? And then I think, you know, with such lofty aspirations and meager results, that maybe it's just narcissism or whatnot. In some ways, it feels like it would be easier, more bearable if it was, if I could make myself believe that all my lofty aspirations were just delusions of grandeur, and I could try and settle down and live a more normal life and be more contented with it. I don't know.
I mean, trying to find a question to lead down path what I'm thinking right now, but when you kind of attach to Lemmer for his sense of humor and his cynicism and his worldliness,
mm-hmm.
Did you see him then as, like, something very special to the world at large?
I suppose so, yeah. And I did before I met him, even. I just got that impression from references to him in ZZT games. You know, he never made any himself, but there were always all these references, and he's sort of regarded as like a living national treasure of the ZZT community. Rightly so, yeah. I think. And that's a big part of why I recorded and edited so many text conversations with Lemmer and tried to unsuccessfully to weave them together into some sort of story, to make them into scripts for comic or something, lots of different ways, always unfinished, never really came to anything, and I would always just endlessly pasting them back into conversations I had with other people as I just wanted to share it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't ever find the right way to do it, and same as other pictures and so on. And I feel like it's an impulse even that I can trace back to having inherited from my maternal grandmother. Used to record things from TV onto VHS tapes, commercials or science programs or whatever, just things that she wanted to share. And she would send them to us on these VHS tapes with the index cards rubber banded to them that said what was on it and stuff. This sort of the way that you would forward internet links today, but, you know, the impulse was so strong in her that she was doing it back then, even before the technology really made it an accessible thing. And she always seemed sort of deeply unhappy, frustrated in the same way that I am.
Is it possible that, rather than running out of new perspectives, you lost the ability to acknowledge new perspectives?
Did I say running out of new perspectives?
That's how I interpreted you, and that you can't find anybody who seems to have anything to say. You can't make anybody that you can actually intellectually connect with.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I do feel at times that my tastes have sort of soured, you know, that it's harder for me to enjoy new things than it was.
I mean, I feel like, you know, you get to know Lemmer, it's kind of like starting on a particular path on a Choose Your Own Adventure book. you know, may or may not actually be a path to the end of that.
I don't understand what you mean. What did you say?
I mean, I said, I think, you know, you get to know Lemmer, and you kind of treat Lemmer as a role model, or whoever, but in this case Lemmer, as kind of like beginning a particular path in a Choose Your Own Adventure book. You know, it may very well be a path that leads straight to game over every single time at end, or whatever, but it's not anything bad to say about Lemmer, it's just that.
Well, it is. I mean, you're saying that he's not a good role model.
No. Well, I guess so. We imagine it's kind of turned into a universe where there's only, you know, a few branching paths for a particular person you get to know. But it's not Choose Your Own Adventure book, really. It's just that you became a particular person based on having met Lemmer, and now you're unable to, like, turn the pages back to start over.
Well, it doesn't sound like the Choose Your Own Adventure metaphor matters one way or the other in terms of what you're saying, that Lemmer's a bad role model, which might be true. Certainly seems like an unhappy person, so you follow in his footsteps, it's not surprising you end up unhappy.
Well, Lemmer's a closeted trans woman, right?
Lemmer's a what?
A closeted trans woman.
I don't understand the words you're saying.
Lemmer is a closeted trans woman, correct?
Oh, yeah, among other things.
Yeah, I think people like that usually acknowledge that they are of no value to the rest of the world, like in their teenage years, and they may or may not grow out of it after that.
I don't know. I always saw it as being cause and effect the other way around. He said that he confided to me once that he would, he felt that he would be happy if he had been born a girl.
Yeah, he told me that.
I don't believe he would.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a grass is greener on the other side thing. I think that a lot of that, and a lot of it in the Make Six community and so on, comes from just a feeling of something being sort of existentially wrong, and assigning it to gender, and you know, presumably, in the cases where people assign it to gender, they do have at least some preference for the gender that they weren't born into. But I don't think that's quite what it is. I think it goes deeper than that, and that's revealed, at least in part, by the attraction to things like ZZT and Megazooks, which have a much there's something a lot more esoteric and nothing to do with gender going on there. It's a, you know, sort of pulling down to the abstract.
Yes.
But likewise, I don't really believe that I'm unhappy because I chose gender, because I chose a Lemmer as a role model. I think it's mostly genetic.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to know your genes to work with here, you know?
I don't understand what you're saying, Ken.
You don't, you don't have your genes to work with. You know, that's not something that influences.
Well, I don't know, though. I mean, I kind of feel like eventually you get to the point where you have to confront that. You have to maybe turn to science, because certainly none of this other shit seems to be working. I have already turned to drugs, both on, you know, approved clinical pharmaceutical routes and otherwise. I would definitely turn to genetics if it was something that we had more access to these days.
Well, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't say no to that.
Right, but, like, I feel like there's a disconnect between us on this, because when I say that, you know, I feel like then it motivates me to, you know, to do research on it and figure out if there's inroads that can be made or experiments undertaken and that sort of thing. Like, I really thought about performing the WADA test on myself or figuring out a way to do that. Like, seriously thought about it. Whereas that's the one where you anesthetize one hemisphere of your brain. It's done very rarely for patients who are suffering from severe epilepsy, and they're going to have a large portion of their brain removed, and they want to make sure they're getting the right one. With one hemisphere of the brain anesthetized, typically there's one that will be able to speak, and the other one won't be able to speak, but it will still be able to sing frequently. I feel like the insight that could be gained from doing that, to see if there's something unusual going on in my head, you know, the self-knowledge that would come from that is something that I desire strongly enough that I would be willing to actually, you know, figure out a way to perform that experiment, even though presumably it would be illegal, or at least not something you could get any, like, doctor to do for above board reasons. You would have to lie your way into getting the supplies or the approval for the procedure or something. Because for me, like, I feel like I'm right up against the edge of this thing, and that even though you sort of commiserate with me about it, that you have this certain expanse of normal life between you and it. You know what I mean? Like, you have this crappy job working for Xerox or Verizon that you hate, but you still do it, and you don't really, you know, you describe yourself as a coward, but I don't think that's really quite what it is. It's more that living a normal life, there's parts of that that people are supposed to enjoy that you actually do enjoy, that you get something out of, that kind of make it worthwhile, or at least that pacify you or satiate your desire for change that would otherwise flare up. And in me, it just doesn't work. I can't find these things to dull this craving in me. There's this, I feel like I'm always right up against the edge of the hunger for something very different, for something that propels me to do weird things, or dangerous things, or whatever. And it feels like there must be more people like that out there, but I just can't find them. I don't know, no. Now I'm thinking about, like, whether this conversation is a useful thing, whether this goes anywhere, whether somebody worthy to listen to it would have insight into my character and would have learned something about me or themselves or their potential relationship to me or something. And it's like, you know, what is the point of explaining this to you or to anyone, you know? And usually when it comes to something like that, then I'll feel like maybe there is some value in it, but that I would need feedback from other people in order to determine that. And so I try to get them to listen to it, and they won't. Or it's like pulling teeth to make them do it, and it feels like it wasn't worth it in the end.
I don't know. I feel like a lot of the people you deal with, I don't know that I'd be included in this at all, kind of like make inroads towards having any effect on the world in their own stupid way, right? And you don't really do that.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, you certainly have your studies of a sort, but they don't lead in any practical direction in terms of having an effect on the rest of the world. You don't focus on the problem of reaching out to other human beings as much as would be necessary, or for that matter, on learning the practical skill to prove anything to other human beings.
Well, like, as opposed to whom?
Well, like, as opposed to Vincent going through fucking law school, you know, to be a defense attorney. That's not to say that Vincent's having a really excellent practical effect on the world at large, but he made those inroads. He made the deliberate long-term effort to have that practical effect.
That just seems like, I don't know, that doesn't seem like the same thing at all. Like, to me, that seems like going in the opposite direction, drilling himself down deeper into a humdrum everyday existence that just sucks up most of his time. A thing that he does that he doesn't like, that prevents him from having the spare time to think and worry about existential issues or whatever. I think of his unpublished book as more in the direction that I go.
Yeah. I remember you once making fun of timeline for saying specialization is for insects. I guess that's more what you're getting at here.
Is that I don't pick a particular thing to go after, that my interests are too scattered. There's certainly some truth to that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I've tried to unify it and make it into one thing that somebody could read and get something out of in Polyplan Comics, you know. It's just, I don't know if it's successful. Certainly, it's not something most people could stand to read. Lots of people seem to find me interesting, but somehow, that's as far as it goes. There's just some disconnect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like if I could just find, like, a disciple, like Glimmer had me, to sort of pass on my ideas to, but I can't. And so I've tried to express them through art or whatever, but I feel like I just made a mess of things. Alright, I'm gonna go now.
Okay.
Thanks for talking to me.
No big deal. Thank you.